Take your Bibles this afternoon. Turn with us to Matthew, the 18th chapter, and beginning at verse number 21. Matthew 18 and verse 21. And here we have a new proviso for forgiveness. For forgiveness. Then came Peter and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times. Now, seven is the number of what? Perfection. That ought to do it. I mean, seven times I'm done, you know. Don't have to forgive him any more. Now, who or what brought this about in Peter's life, I don't know, but I believe somebody done something. Amen. And that's why he's got this question about how often should he forgive? And he wanted an answer. And he thought he was being magnanimous. Did I get it, Mark? It's better than supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. But he was being magnanimous. I mean, he was being really generous to say, I'll forgive him seven times. He thought he was really being gracious in doing that. The rabbis, and you know they were the religious leaders, and still are in Judaism, the rabbis said two or three times was enough. That's what they said, even in Jesus' day. Two or three times, that's it. The Talmud of Babylon says when a man sins against another, they forgive him once, they forgive him a second time, they forgive him a third time, but the fourth time, you do not forgive. That's what Dr. Broadus gave us from the Talmud of Babylon. The Lord listens to Peter as he says, forgive seven times, that's enough. And the Lord, I'm sure, looks right at him. And in verse 22, Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And I believe that's 490 times. That is a bunch. Now listen, if I'm going to forgive somebody that many times, then I'm going to forget what the whole thing was about by the time I get that far. Amen? I mean, I think that's kind of the idea here. You just get past it. And people say today, get over it. Get over it. But a lot of times they're not over it. And we got to get past some things. Got to get past some things. And we believe in our minds as being sinful people, there's got to be a limit to this. You know, there's got to be a limit to this. But what Christ teaches us here is to exercise love after His heart. A love that never faileth. And forgiveness, believe it or not, is talking about love. I mean, you don't forgive unless you really have a love for somebody. Now, I've got five children, 13 grandchildren, and they don't always do everything I want them to do. But the worst thing that can happen for them is for them to come to me and say, Pawpaw, forgive me. And I say, no, you've done that four or five times now, and I'm not forgiving you. What do you think that'd do to the little heart of that grandchild? But yet, there are people who are tender and we forget and we don't give them that same forgiveness that we would give to a child. And we ought to be that forgiving. Now, there are two truths that we're going to look at this afternoon. First of all, the need of being forgiven and being forgiving. And secondly, the need of forgiving others. Now, in verse number 23, Jesus says, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king." Guess who the king is? He's the sovereign of the universe. That's who's represented there. The Lord God Himself. Which would take account of His servants. Do you believe the sovereign of the universe is taking account of His servants today? He is. And so Jesus is answering Peter's question by giving him this proviso that we're going to look at. Now, the kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of God. It's His kingdom. He's sovereign over it. And I believe the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God is a kingdom of mercy as well as justice. But it is a kingdom of mercy. You say, how is it a kingdom of mercy? It's a kingdom of mercy in that God pardons man through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're pardoned. Now, pardon is different. I mean, it's forgiveness, but it's being set free to be pardoned. Now, folks get in a bad position, don't they? And they get in a bad condition. And I want you to notice verse 24 where it says, "And when he had begun to reckon, in other words, get the account. When he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents." At home we'd say that is buku. That's buku. That's bunches. "For as much as he had not to pay." For he had not so much to pay. "His Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment be made." Boy, if the story ended there, we would say that's terrible. But look at verse 26. "The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him," the sovereign king, "saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will repay thee." Well, there's several things we see in this. First of all, a great debtor. He owed more than he could ever repay. He was a great debtor. Thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And I believe that our debt to God is infinite. We could never pay. We could never work our way. We could never get to the place where we have repaid God for what He has done for us. It's an impossibility. Could never be done. We'll never be good enough. We'll never be rich enough. We'll never be wise enough to pay the debt that Jesus paid on the cross. The Bible tells us that He, God, hath made Him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We could have never, ever repaid. We were bankrupt. Bankrupt. Sold under sin. And so the sovereign king here says in verse number 25, "Sell him. Sell his wife. Sell his children. All that he has. Then payment would be made." Oh, dear friend. He had come short. He couldn't pay. What does the Bible say? All have sinned and done what? Come short of the glory of God. Well, couldn't he do something? No. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in the sovereign sight. He's under condemnation. And all of his past service merited him nothing. Merited him nothing. People say, well, surely I'll get to heaven because I've been good to folks. And I go to the nursing home and visit, and I give to the poor. And during certain times of the year, I put money in a kettle. I do that. Surely if anybody goes to heaven, I should go. I should go. No. All of that will not merit righteousness. It only merits condemnation. And this is a sharp rebuke to self-righteousness. Those who believe that they can clothe themselves with some type of a righteous robe when all that they have are filthy rags. That's the picture. That's the picture we have. All the unforgiven, all of the unbelievers are under condemnation of God. Then in verse 26 we have his earnest petition here where it says the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him. He fell down and he worshipped the sovereign, saying, Lord, have patience with me and I will forgive thee all. I'll repay thee all. I'll do it. I will pay thee all of it. Have patience with me. It's an earnest petition, but it's self-righteous. I'll pay. I'll do. He's not able to pay. He never will be able to pay. Yet he pleads. Pleads for patience. He even confesses his failure and promises to do better in the future. Friends, that's the trick of an unbelieving heart. I'm going to do better. I'm going to do better. I pick up folks and have to stop at the pilot and get gas going to Mobile. And there's one pilot. If I drive in there, there's going to be a bum. And he's going to come. When it says Port Chaplain on my van, it's like a magnet. They're coming. And I get to witnessing to them and tell them about the Lord. Oh, man, I'm going to do better. I'm going to do better. And then this is it. I'm going to do better. If you'll just buy me a sandwich and give me a few dollars. I say, I'll buy you a sandwich. I ain't giving you no money. And then I said, tell you what, I got a few minutes. I'll eat with you. No, man, no, man. You don't have to eat with me. Yeah, I do, man. I'm hungry. No, you don't have to do that. I stink. I said, I've been around stinkers before. And then I go sit out with them. And man, it's a good opportunity to unload the gun. I'm kind. But I ask them, why are you doing this? How did you get here? Why do you live this way? Don't you know that there is a better life? A much happier life, even if you don't have anything. And that life is in Christ. Man, I've heard it. Well, bums get to hear it, don't they? So I drop another bomb on the bum. But we're all in need of real salvation. It has to come from the Lord. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. How? By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. It's because your heart was regenerated and you saw the truth. Now let me tell you something. Those of you who are saved, you've got a new heart. People say, give the Lord your heart. He didn't want your old heart. He wants to give you a new heart. A new heart. Don't give old rotten heart to Him. He'll give you a new heart. So thankful for that. So he confesses his failure, saying he'll do better. I want you to think about it. Think about it. Think about it. What could you ever do to deserve heaven? What could you ever do to deserve heaven? I'm talking about you. What you could do. Not what Jesus did, but what could you do? But here's a fellow, he's been imprisoned. I mean, what's an imprisoned man going to do? And that's part of the picture. I mean, people who are lost are imprisoned in their sin. And they can't do anything. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. So here's the situation. And the Lord's answering Peter concerning his question. And in verse 27, we find a very merciful Lord, where it says, "Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion on him and loosed him and forgave him his debt." He had compassion on him. You know, that's what the Lord did for me. He had compassion on an undeserving sinner who owed a debt he could never pay, who was imprisoned by sin and needed to be loosed from his bands. He pardoned him. He forgave him his debt. Now, friends, he didn't deserve it. He did not deserve it. Yet the Master forgave him. I did not deserve it. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And dear friends, it wasn't because of his prayers and promises that he was forgiven. It was a work of the sovereign God. It was all of his will, his plan. There's no word of rebuke here. Just forgiveness for a bankrupt sinner. I have a hard time understanding that. He that night I was saved, he didn't rebuke me. He loved me. He forgave me. Psalm 103:3 says, "He forgiveth all thine iniquities." Hebrews 10:17, "Your sins and iniquities will he remember no more, be remembered anymore." Micah 7:18, "Who is like our God, who pardoneth iniquity, transgression, and sin? Who is any like Him? He forgives us, He pardons us of all our iniquity and sin, and His Son who died, was buried, and rose again." Then it says, He was delivered. He loosed Him. He loosed Him. Loosed Him. Not only was his debt canceled, and I'm thinking about that. What kind of debt did we have? How about it? But his debt was canceled. And everybody here had a debt. And those that are lost still have a debt. And it's a debt you'll never pay. But there's one who will pay it by trusting in His death, burial, and resurrection. Being forgiven, this man is now free from the law. Because, what do you mean free from the law? Well, by the deeds of the flesh, so shall no flesh be justified. By keeping the law, shall no flesh be justified. And there's an old hymn that says, "Free from the law, oh happy condition. Jesus has bled, and there is remission. Cursed by the law and bruised by the fall, Christ hath redeemed us once for all." Once, listen, once for all, oh sinner, believe it. Once for all, oh doubter, believe it. Cling to the cross, the burden will fall. Christ hath redeemed us once for all time. Oh, I like that. That excites my soul. Forgiven. Boy, this fellow's forgiven. He owed a debt he could never pay. He's forgiven. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? Oh, rejoice. But then go to verse 28. We find a forgiven man with an unforgiving spirit. But the same servant, a forgiven man, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, just a little bit. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. Took him by the throat. Said, pay me. You owe me. Pay me. Pay me. This man had mercy shown to him by the sovereign of the universe. But he shows no mercy. He has no forgiveness. And dear friends, those of us who have received mercy ought to show mercy. We ought to show mercy. We're to do that. The man who had been forgiven owed a debt that he could never pay, an infinite debt, and now here's a man that owes him $44. And he's not going to forgive him. He takes him by the throat. He will not forgive. Verse 29. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet. Who else did that earlier? Huh? His fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience. Oh, we've heard that before. Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not. Now think about it. Here's somebody who's been forgiven by the sovereign. By the sovereign of the universe. And then there are those who have owed this man that had been forgiven. Here's one that owes him. And he says, no, I will not forgive you. I will not forgive you. I will not have patience with you. I will not give you another shot at it. I'll never get over it. When you're unforgiving, it means you never get over it. That's something. That is something. And what a terrible thing that it is. Friends, because God has forgiven us who are believers, we ought to forgive others. We ought to forgive others. And if God forgave sins the way we forgive others, we'd be in trouble. We'd be in trouble this afternoon. Now we get to verse 31 and we find there's a lesson to be learned. In verse number 31. Of course, verse 30, he puts him in prison, cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. It's just the repeat of what had been done to him, but he won't show mercy. And verse 31, now, there are people who are watching. There are people who are listening. And let me say that there are people who watch you and they watch me and they're listening to us all the time. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry. In other words, it hurt them to see how another servant was acting. Do you know you're a servant of the sovereign God of the universe? And other servants are seeing how you act. and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Hey, take it to the Lord. And these other servants say, hey, I don't know, Lord, why. Brother Pickenpaw won't forgive me. I've asked him, but he says he's a believer, but he said, I'll never forgive you for what you've done. And then other people said, you hear that? Oh, brother, won't forgive. He refuses to forgive the man, and then others pick up the offense. It affects others. Amen? It does. They were sorry. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. I forgave you all of that debt. Should not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? God has forgiven much. Should we not forgive much? We deserved hell. And unbelievers deserve hell. We deserved hell. If we are saved, now you have heaven. And the Bible says to the servants in Ephesians 4:32, it says, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Forgive, forgive, forgive. Forgive others. As God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Listen, as the sovereign of the universe, the King of the kingdom has forgiven you for the sake of His Son. Forgiving others should be a result of the great pardon that we've received. It ought to be. But what happens when you don't forgive? What happens if you let it fester? What happens if you won't get over it? Let's see the misery of unforgiveness. Verses 34 and 35. And his Lord was wroth. The sovereign of the universe was wroth. And delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Torment comes. Tormented. Because he will not forgive. There's misery that comes with unforgiveness. And it means there's a continued hardness. You get a hardness of heart. A hardness of heart. And bitterness comes. There are spiritual consequences to unforgiveness. And one of them is an inability to love God as we ought to. To love God as we ought to. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, he that loveth God love his brother also. That's talking about people in the same family, isn't it? Well, love one another. Now, I haven't mentioned this. It's a burden on my heart, but my mother died about 2 weeks ago. My mother left us when I was 12 years old. I didn't see her for the next 10 years. I actually did not know where she was at. And I had come to know the Lord, born again. And out of the blue, my mother showed up. And
She was an alcoholic. She did not drink for the last 15 years of her life or so. But she was, and I said, you can stay with us. We were out in New Mexico in the Air Force, and she got drunk, and I said, you got to go. I said, I can't have you stay. And it was another 10 years. Because it wasn't back when you had cell phones and stuff. People would get gone. I mean, they were just lost. And then one day I got a phone call, and she said, this your mother. She said, will you forgive me? I said, yes. I said, I forgive you. And over the next year, she would call weeping and saying, would you forgive me? I said, I forgave you already. It's done. And then she'd call, will you forgive me? It's done. How would I feel today if I had not forgiven her? She died out in Denver. She lived out there the last 30 years of her life. Or better. But there are people who never forgive. They never forgive. And they go to their grave with this burden. Why not live happy and live free? Amen? Get past it. Unforgiveness from God of our own trespasses is a result. I mean, But it's not me saying that. The Bible says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. For if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Again, I'm glad. I am. I must confess, I wasn't as close to my mother as you probably have been to yours. I think that's just the fact that I have to face. But I have no bitterness. I think God used that situation to make me who I am. All things work together for good. It does. There are mental consequences to unforgiveness. Because there's a lack of peace. It's on your mind. It's dwelling on your mind. And every time you see that person, it comes up again. I told Brother Jim, I flew out to see my mother not too many months ago. Got to spend the week. She's still able to be in her little apartment. We had a wonderful time. A wonderful time. I'm glad I was able to do that. I was glad it worked out where I could go and be with her and spend time with her and not be bitter and say, well, I didn't have a mother. My mother wasn't there. That's all in God's hands. Amen? That's His to take care of. He forgave me. So I forgive her. Let's forgive others as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. Let me say, there will always be somebody who will wrong you. I mean, they're going to be there. And you don't wait for them to say, yes, I forgive you. You just forgive them anyway. You forgive them and you move on. Then the ball's in their court. And that's how that goes. I don't want to be like that other fellow. I don't want to be tormented the rest of my life because I hold grudges and have an unforgiving spirit.